Hi, folks. I'm Bob Main. Welcome to another episode of the Handgun World Podcast, episode 282. This is a practical show. If you've tuned in to hear a show that's, you know, real technical in nature and things like that, probably not going to be the right podcast for you. I'm just an everyday guy. I do a little bit of firearms training on the side, but my background does not come from law enforcement or military or being a gunsmith or anything like that. Just comes from being an everyday dude that cares about my personal self-protection, and I take it very seriously, so I carry a gun every day. Well, I'm going to start off with some voicemails this episode and then jump into the main topic. There's a couple of voicemails that listeners have called in with some really good questions. You know, lately, you guys have been calling in some great voicemails, and I appreciate it. By the way, I'll give the number out real quick before I play the first voicemail. Area code 210-646-1727. That's 210-646-1727. If you can't remember that number or write it down or anything, just go to handgunworld.com. On the right side of my website, you'll see a big call me button. And you can also hit that button, put your phone number in there, and it will hook you up with my voicemail. So here's the first one.
Hey, Bob. This is Dave in Utah. I just had a comment for you on the most recent episode where you talked about what your vision does under stress. You mentioned, you know, you read the story from the police officer, and you mentioned that you didn't remember seeing the sight, and that some of the, you know, the emphasis on marksmanship and seeing the sights kind of went out the window in the fight. Just a nitpicky thing, I think that sometimes we run the risk of emphasizing one thing over another too much. So I think I wouldn't say that marksmanship training totally goes out the window in a situation like that, because while you're in marksmanship training, you are getting the proper grip and the proper stance, and you're lining up the sights correctly. You're not only using your eyes to guide the bullet, but you're also teaching your brain what it feels like to hold the gun a certain, you know, the correct way, what it feels like to point your arms out the correct way, hold your feet, you know, the ideal way. And I think that what happens is that you build that muscle memory, you know, the so-called muscle memory, so that when you do get into a stressful situation, your brain doesn't have to think about that stuff, and it's not going to. It just kind of happens. I mean, the police officer that you cited, he said he didn't see his sight. All he saw was the gun, and he didn't think his marksmanship helped him. And yet, I mean, he won. He hit the bad guy. So I think the marksmanship probably helped him there. And I would hate for people to think that you don't need to practice marksmanship, because it won't ever come into factor in a defensive shooting. So my comments, and keep up the good work, and hope you get feeling better, Bob. Bye.
Dave, right on. Thank you very much for that reminder. I think I kind of misspoke a little bit last week. I shouldn't have said that his marksmanship went out the window. That was a bad choice of words. Yes, you definitely need to perfect your marksmanship skills. You are going to build the muscle memory, as Dave talks about in this voicemail. And you are going to learn how to do things correctly. And it can and probably will pay off if that terrible, unfortunate day comes where you have to use your gun in a gunfight to protect yourself. So, Dave, good point. You know, I guess what I was trying to emphasize there is a lot of people, they kind of get the wrong idea. A lot of people, I know because I've heard people tell me this. A lot of people think, they truly think, that they're going to get enough advanced warning in a gunfight where they're protecting the lives of themselves or the lives of their family members. They feel like they're going to get enough advanced warning that they're going to be able to pay attention and look at the grip of their pistol and align those sights perfectly and get that really good, precise shot to dispatch that bad guy. And I don't think a lot of people put much movement into consideration. And they put way too much importance on things like sites and so forth. I'm not saying sites are not important. Please don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that they're not important. In fact, I did a whole podcast after I took the point shooting class with Roger Phillips. I did a whole whole podcast on how I thought that sites were important but less important once you learn other techniques of shooting and making good hits on target. So don't get me wrong, but I think a lot of people have that misconception. It's sort of a false sense of security that they think they're going to be able to slow down and get everything right. And what we find is that the fights are so fluid that, and it's such a reactionary situation when you find yourself in a fight, that you better know something beyond just what we call stand and deliver shooting. All right, that's pretty much what I'm talking about. I'm a firm believer in the fundamentals. I teach the fundamentals. Let me urge you to keep practicing the fundamentals. I keep practicing the fundamentals. As a matter of fact, I just did last week. I took some relatively new shooters out to the range to do some video taping, by the way, which, by the way, I can't talk about it. But there is a movie that is being made about a certain person, and I'm going to quite likely be in that movie. I may be in that movie as a shooting instructor. How about that? Hey, how cool is that? I can't talk about who it is or what the name of the movie is or when it's going to release or anything like that. But just recently, for a couple of hours, we did some filming about someone shooting. And I was their shooting instructor along with some other people that were there. And so I might be making an appearance in a film. And that's about all. In fact, I probably will be, because I know that the shooting portion of that is going to be part of the movie. I would be pretty shocked if I'm not in that. But anyway, I spent some time practicing the fundamentals. First of all, I didn't want to embarrass myself on a movie. I wanted to make sure I had everything down, okay? So I practice it, and I like to practice it before every class that I teach as well. So, here's the next voicemail.
Hey, Bob. This is Chuck from your state of Wisconsin. I'm calling about your interview with Chaz on episode 280. You were talking about the Smith & Wesson shield and the activating, deactivating the safety. I thought I'd chime in. This is my sole carry gun. I carry an appendix. I run XS Big Dot Sight, and done a little work to the for shipling, just help with recoil and all that stuff. But what I'd like to chime in on is when you actually deactivate the safety in my draw. I draw single handed, and as I come into the gun, I get a high tang grip, and as I draw up, it's about, let me say this. I'll back up just a second and say that when I get a good grip on the gun, my thumb is pointing up. So naturally, my thumb's going to come down and deactivate that safety on the draw. So it's actually shortly after I clear the holster and the gun is, as my elbow is going down to my side and the gun is pivoting towards the target, the safety comes off at that point, not at extension, which some people may try to do, which I also find difficult to deactivate with large hands. If you try it this way, I think you'll find that it's very easy to deactivate the safety at this point of your draw. And only push back, some people might think there's a safety issue there. If people run Glocks with no safeties, there's really no safety issue to deactivate the safety early. For me, the safety is only to protect myself during a draw, and that's the way I run it. It actually catches me more by surprise when the safety is off already when I go to try to take it off. So anyway, enjoy the show, enjoy the interview, always enjoy Chaz as well, so thank you, and have a good day.
Hey, Chuck, from my home state of Wisconsin. Good to hear from you. Thanks for calling in. You know, I miss Wisconsin. I miss Wisconsin from time to time. I really do. It's my home state. In case some of you don't know, I'm a Yankee with a gun. I was born in New York City, and I was raised most of my life in Wisconsin. Of course, I left Wisconsin when I graduated from college. And, of course, now I live in the great gun-friendly state of Texas. Anyway, Chuck, you know, that's good. The way you're disengaging that safety is pretty much how you should do it. Anybody that carries a gun with a thumb safety that has to be disengaged, let me just say that this is pretty much the way that you need to do it. You need to, during that draw stroke, as your gun is just clearing the holster, just as your gun is clearing the holster, disengage that thumb safety. It's what I'm practicing again with my 1911s. I used to be pretty good at it, and I'm getting better at it every time. Most of you know I'm doing this one-year test, switching back and forth between a 1911 and a striker-fired gun. Boy, this is an interesting test. Matter of fact, next week I think I'm going to have some more updates on what's going on with it. But Chuck, right on. I think that's exactly the way you should be doing it. What I like is that Chuck, with a Smith & Wesson M&P Shield, which is a fine concealed carry gun, Chuck is doing what I think he should do, and that is practice disengaging that safety. If you're going to carry that gun, and I know some of you might be thinking, well, Bob, I don't carry it with the safety on. Train with the safety on anyway. Train with the safety on anyway. You have to be prepared for Murphy's Law. You have to understand that things in a fight don't go 100% the way you planned them. Things in life don't go 100% the way we planned them, do they? So just when you think that the safety might be disengaged, it could be engaged. And, of course, the other way around. You need to train both ways. You need to train yourself, if you're going to carry that gun, to be looking to sweep off that thumb safety in the event that you have to use it. Good voicemail, Chuck. Thank you. Hey, folks, if you hear some background noise, I'm in the Handgun World Mobile Studio, at least for this segment. I'm still driving my 2002 Honda Accord. 143,000 miles on this little bad boy now. Hey, you know, I'm cheap. I'm cheap, and I absolutely despise car payments. So both of our vehicles that my wife and I drive are paid off, and I like to keep it that way. And this little Honda Accord just keeps running and running and running and running and doesn't give me any problems. So why should I change? But that's what the background noise is. It's not the most quiet car in the world. I want to make some more comments about last week's podcast. I've received some emails from some of you about some of the comments I made on gun rights and property rights and things. It's a topic that I've brought up before more than once. Ben Branham and I did a podcast interview about this topic. Oh, I think it was 3 or 4 months ago, something like that. Here's what I want to say. Why is it that there is so much emphasis placed on protecting people's rights other than the Second Amendment right? I know that we're winning. I know that we're making a lot of progress. We are. And, you know, I mean, we're winning back some of our rights. And I stress the fact, winning back. Folks, I have become an unconditional supporter of the Second Amendment. Well, I pretty much always have been, but I want to reemphasize that I am. I think some people have gotten the wrong impression. And I want to say unconditional. I want to really underscore that word, unconditional. There should be no conditions on our Second Amendment rights. And all I was trying to make, the only analogy I was trying to make, is why is there such an uproar? Why is there such outrage when a property owner denies other rights to an individual? And I use the example, like, what if a property owner denied service to someone of a certain race? You know, even if they could legally do it, boy, wouldn't there be an outrage? Or what if they denied someone the opportunity to do business there, to come in their property on their store, for example, to come in their store or their establishment or their hotel based on someone's religion. What if a hotel owner, since I'm in the hotel business, I deal with a lot of hotel owners. What if a hotel owner says, I'm not going to rent a room to you because I don't like your religious beliefs. I don't like the way you're dressed. You're dressed like a certain religious type of a person. And because of your religious beliefs, I'm not going to rent a room to you. Boy, if that word got out that a business owner was doing that, that hotel owner was doing that, and it got out on the news, can you just hear it? Can you hear the uproar? Can you hear? I mean, you know what? Can you listen to people? But as soon as a property owner puts up a no gun sign, well, all of a sudden that's okay. Why? Why is it okay when a hotel puts up a no gun sign? By the way, I've seen in the state of Texas the 30-06 signs, the legal sign in the state of Texas for posting your property to be off limits for concealed carry. Why is that more okay when someone puts up a sign and says, we don't want you people coming in here. We don't want you gun carriers. We don't care about your fundamental Second Amendment rights. We don't care. We don't want people of your kind in our business. And so go away if you're one of those evil, bad people that carry guns. We don't want you in here. How come there's not as much uproar? How come there's not as much news being made about it? How come people are not as aggravated about it? So what I'm trying to say is, for some reason, the Second Amendment doesn't seem to hold as high of an importance or isn't as held in high esteem like some of the other rights, some of the other fundamental rights that are protected in the Constitution, by the way. Just think about what I'm saying here, all right? Please don't twist my words and don't say that I'm against a property owner's rights. Don't say that I'm against a property owner's right to post a no guns sign in his or her business and forbid carry, even though I strongly disagree with a property owner's I strongly disagree with property owners when they do that, when they post their business no guns. I think they're fools. I won't do business with them. And I vehemently disagree with it. But where's the outcry? Where's the outcry when businesses do that? And from you gun owners, I'm asking you people. Where's the major outcry from you people? And then you guys send me emails and voicemails. And you're almost backing up the property owners who put up no gun signs. Would you back them up if they forbid a certain religious belief, a certain sexual orientation, a certain race, or a certain sexual gender? Would you back them up if they prohibited those people from entering their business? Yeah, that's all I'm saying. Would you come to their defense? Some of you have come to the defense of property owners that wish to post a no gun carrying sign. That's all I'm saying. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll move on.
Good afternoon. This is your captain speaking with just a little flight information. Coming up on the left, we're going to be catching a glimpse of the Grand Canyon. On the right, you can be able to see the Hoover Dam in just a few minutes. We're flying at an altitude of 37,000 feet, and our airspeed is 400 miles an hour. A couple little facts here. I'm packing a Colt King Cobra. That's a .357 caliber firearm with a black rubber grip and a 6-inch barrel. Also, the co-pilot is carrying a Kimber custom defense pistol with all the bells and whistles you'd expect from a custom gun of that kind, with an alloy frame and bevel treatment on the entire gun. And our chief flight attendant, Roger, has a Ruger Bearcat 22 with a hand-fluted cylinder. All three are capable of piercing body armor at a distance of up to 27 feet, and it can put a hole in human bone and flesh the size of the Grand Canyon, which, by the way, is coming up on the left-hand side of the plane, so just sit back and relax and enjoy the rest of the flight.
All right, joining me for the main topic is Joe from Fort Discovery, and he's going to talk about an expedition rifle. Joe, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks for having me.
Well, I appreciate your time in advance. I want to let people know, the people that read Glenn Tate's books, the 299 Days series, you are Joe, you're the character, you're the Joe Tantori from the book, aren't you?
That's correct.
Yeah.
We found ourselves in the middle of that.
And I'm excited because I'm going to be at Fort Discovery in August. Thank you for hosting us. You're going to be hosting Ben Branham and I as we team up with Glenn to teach our Beyond Concealed Carry class. And I'm looking at your website, and I'm really excited. And I want to thank you in advance, Joe, for hosting us.
You bet. Yeah, we look forward to having you guys out. Once you get out here, you're gonna realize all the benefits of Fort Discovery and what we have to offer, and your students, and we're really looking forward to having you guys out here.
Yeah, me too. Well, we're gonna talk about the Expedition rifle, but before we get into that, tell people about your website. What's the web address, and where can they learn about what you do?
Sure. Yeah, people can they go to just Google Fort Discovery, and our address there is FORT and then Discovery, like the Discovery Channel, USA.com. So if you go to FortDiscoveryUSA.com, you can go there and check out what we do. We've got the Expedition rifle there. We've got some of the training things that we do out here and our store. We don't have an online store, but we just have items of what's going on, what's new arrivals, that kind of stuff. And you can also get a hold of us, too. The best thing to do would be to call, and that number is 877-876-4750. And again, that's 877-876-4750. And you could call us, and actually, if people have an interest in the Expedition rifle, which we'll touch on, they can get a hold of either myself or Steve.
Okay, you or Steve. And your company is Security Services Northwest.
Well, we have two companies. Our kind of a little bit of history here is, I started off in the security business back in the late 80s, and then after... We started doing some maritime stuff in the late 80s, and then after the whole 9/11 event it happened, we started providing some maritime security elements privately for the Department of Defense. And so we would roll out our people into different segments of the community, really, because it would be like a military ship would come into a non-military port, and then we would provide the perimeter security for those vessels. And so what transpired over the years is we basically started doing a lot of intensive training with our own internal staff here and all types of weapons, everything from, pistols right up to full automatic weapons on our ranges and being deployed and working as contractors for the Department of Defense. And so... Once that kind of started, then we had a couple of people that we had hired through different branches of the military. Either they had retired or they were out of the service, and several of them had said that our program that we had put together was an exceptional program, and it was some of the best training courses that they'd been to around the country. And so what had happened is then we stood up a team called the CAT team. And then people started to hear about the training, and then we started bringing in organizations from folks like yourself. We have military folks that come to our training facility, and federal law enforcement, local law enforcement. In fact, last week we had a tactical canine course here from police canines from all over the Puget Sound up here in Washington.
Wow.
Came up here and did a week-long course in the state of the facility.
A week-long course. Nice.
Yes. Yeah. So it's kind of, that's kind of how the whole, you know, and to back up a little bit on how, you know, we came into calling it Fort Discovery is that, there's a, back in 1792, Captain Vancouver, two tall ships came in here. Captain Vancouver was exploring the Pacific Northwest, looking for the, passage and, Northwest Passage. And so when they came into Discovery Bay, they actually landed at our site.
Really?
And made an encampment here for 20 days. And all the characters on those ships is really interesting because, you know, there was Peter Puget, and then they called it the Puget Sound.
Uh-huh.
They had Mr. Rainier for Mount Rainier. They had Mr. Baker for Mount Baker. Mr. Woodby for Woodby Island. So all of these guys actually came to, and the reason they came to the site is because there was a small creek. And they replenished water, but they stayed here and had set up an encampment for 20 days while they did repairs to their ship and went out and got some venison, did some local trading with the Indians. And then, so that, hence, there was really never a name here. So basically by doing the research and looking at what Vancouver did, we said, well, let's call the place Fort Discovery. And so that's kind of how the whole Fort Discovery name came about.
That's cool.
Yeah, and then led into, you know, what we're going to talk about is the Expedition Rifle, and that's why we call it the Expedition, because it was the first phase of the Captain Vancouver Expedition up in the Pacific Northwest.
I like it. I like it. And, you know, when you go to the website, I'm there now, FortDiscoveryUSA.com, it says, welcome to the Rally Point. What does that mean?
Okay, well, the Rally Point is it's something that's it's kind of almost personal and true to me is, and some of my beliefs that is that we all need a rally point, and whether it's a personal rally point or a rally point for all of us like-minded people that may need to gather at a point to rally in support, or in times of some kind of natural disaster, whatever. You know, there's so many different people have a reason where they may think, well, just where would we have a central location where we could go and basically rally with like-minded people? And that's the whole thing behind the Expedition Rifle. One of the things that we have on the rifle that's, it's, you know, if you looked at it and you say, yeah, that's an AR-15, and then what's the difference between that and a Colt? Or you'd look at it and you'd say, well, the difference is that if you have one of our rifles, on the side of the rifle, it's inscribed with the rally point GPS location is on there. So it's got the coordinates on there.
Oh, cool.
And so on the side of the receiver of the gun, it's got, obviously it's got a serial number, the caliber, which is a 5.556, and it has the coordinates there. But what comes with the gun, besides this, you can see it on the website there. It comes in a wooden box and it's pretty nicely laid out.
Yeah, it is.
But it comes with a matching coin. So what the, either the coin or the rifle will get you access to our facility. And that's the bottom line with regards to the rally point. You either show the coin and or the rifle at our main gate and then you have access to the rally point.
Really? So anybody who invests in one of these rifles has access to the rally point?
That's correct. Now, some people would ask, well, does that mean that I can come here and shoot, you know, every day or whatever? It's really geared towards that time if, you know, a 9.0 earthquake, the government collapses. I don't know. I mean, you could. Everybody has a different belief and different things that what they may why they may want to come to the rally point. So it would be during one of those events. But you're correct. So if they show up with that, they make the investment in the rifle. They're welcome to to be here at the rally point. And it may even be fun for people that want to just punch in their coordinates from wherever they are to come out and actually pick up the rifle in person.
Yeah. And, you know, I want listeners who are listening to this to know I'm actually looking at the – I'm on the specific page on your website. You have a specific page to order the Expedition rifle. And I'm looking at it, and I'm looking at all the details, and I see I can download a specs flyer. I'm going to put a direct link in the show notes for this episode. So all people have to do is go to handgunworld.com and pull up this episode. This is episode, I believe it's 282, and they can go to the link there and find – specs flyer and everything for your rifle. I like it.
Great. Yeah. No, we really haven't. We're in the early stages of this, developing the rifle. Mm-hmm. And somebody may ask, well, why did you develop a rifle? Well, one of the primary reasons we decided to develop the rifle was just because there was a run on guns, you know, a year and a half, 2 years ago, and we couldn't even get rifles. And so anybody that knows me is, let's make our own. So that's kind of how we got started, and then the rest of it was, you know, built around the story of Fort Discovery, and it's worked out well, and it has some unique features too. This rifle is just not your standard AR. It's a solid billet aluminum, both the upper and lower, and it's been milled on a CNC machine. But we have features on it that no other ARs have, and that's not only the inscription on the side that gets you to the rally point, but it's also the magwell release is been flared out so that you can wear it with a full glove and for the magazine release. And there's a few other features, and you can see that on the website. But, you know, it does look like if you're looking at it, you'd say, well, if you didn't know the story, you might get confused that it's just a normal AR-15.
Yeah. Well, if you don't mind, I want to go over just some of these brief specs. I'm looking at it right now. You got a Daniel Defense bolt carrier group in there, I see.
Yes, we do. And the same with a Daniel Defense barrel. With a 1-7 twist.
Yeah, with a 1-7 twist. And you got Magpul furniture, Magpul MOE stock, and Magpul fore end.
Right. That's correct.
I see that. And one of the things I like here is you got the trigger guard. Looks like it's machined in. Why don't you talk
right
about that?
Yeah, that's exactly. That's one of the other features is that it's because it's out of a solid billet of aluminum. We just made that all one piece instead of having that. Normally, there's a plastic piece there.
Right.
That goes on the bottom.
That's cool. What's the advantage of that?
Well, we like it because we think it strengthens the gun. The whole entire gun just makes it tougher. And then the other thing is that we kind of opened it up a little bit more than normal for if you're wearing a glove. We're really into trying to build this gun for an operator or for a person for home defense that might be wearing gloves. And the reason that we kind of went that direction we had a whole group of folks that helped with designing this gun, including a member of the Navy SEALs, we thought, well, you train in the way that you fight, and so, or you want to fight in the way that you train. So, but basically, most people that are running maybe an AR-15 platform would be wearing gloves, and so that's kind of which kind of got us around the whole framework of building this rifle the way that it is.
Yeah, I want to point out to people that each of these Expedition rifles, it comes with a handcrafted pine box, two Magpul mags, that's good, two mags. Here, something else you've put on there I like, you put a single point sling attachment on there, which I think is really cool, and a waterproof bag, and it says also a custom Fort Discovery coin, which you talked about, which has the matching serial number of the rifle. Very cool.
Right, yeah, when you look at this pine box, it is really geared towards the era of the ship and back in 1792, and that's why we went with this box, which is it's got a lot of for those that'll see it on the website, you can see that it's been burned, and it's got the serial numbers are branded into the edge of the box on both ends, and same with Fort Discovery, and it also comes with a cleaning kit. That's a little bit different than most cleaning kits. But the bag, you touched on the bag, is that this is a lock sack bag that the whole rifle can go in, and it actually can be buried in a person's yard if they wanted to bury it, or just they want to take it on their, you know, on a boat or a fishing trip or whatever. They can slide it into that bag, and that bag will keep it from protected from moisture. But the coin part is pretty, we're pretty proud of that coin, and it's actually been done at a mint. And on this coin, it talks about the, I'll just pick one up here and look at it, but it just says, it's got the ship on the very front of it that's, it's engraved, and it's just beautiful, but it says the unity of effort, which is our slogan for our annual picnic. And oh, by the way, if anybody's interested, in the Pacific Northwest, we have an annual, open house, August 23rd at 1000 hours. And all the first responders, military folks, and friends and family, and are welcome to show up here. There's about 1,000 people that show up for a big picnic.
Wow. So, oh, God. That's cool. I'm going to miss it by 2 weeks, darn.
You are. But on there in that coin, it says Fort Discovery around the top, and it says the rally point. But on the back, it actually has the elevation and the GPS coordinates on how to get to the rally point with the date of 1792. And on that, on the back of that, which was really interesting when we had this coin, our graphic artist put this together, we have a star, like a compass rose on the back. And when all those stars pointed, all the GPS numbers that go around the edges of the coin, it added up to 13. And it was the exact same number of colonies at the time that Fort Discovery was founded, was in place. And so it was kind of an interesting thing that we saw, and we got excited about it. So you'll see on here on this coin, there's 13 under two cross knives, which stand for the, which is the insignia for the British Special Forces, which 50 of them were here with Captain Vancouver in 1792.
Isn't that cool? I mean, this whole package you've put together is such a unique, pretty cool package. I mean, you just can't find it anywhere else.
Right. It's a collector. It's a collector's piece. I mean, this is for somebody that, you know, and it could be for somebody that doesn't have a gun, that wants to have a gun, but this is really an investment, and you may, that's probably one of the next questions, but these retail for around $1,950, and but it comes with a lot, and when you put the whole package together,
I think that's a bargain when you consider the lock sack bag and the sling attachment that's on there, and you're using a Daniel Defense barrel and bolt carrier group, and it comes with two Magpul mags, and of course the coin and everything, the pine box. I think that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, well, we think so, and just from around the shop here, you know, we've sold we've got a few of these are moving out now, and the other thing is that people don't realize too is that they're getting an opportunity right now to buy one of these guns in under 100 serial numbers. So how many of you guys can go out there and pull a gun out of your gun cabinet, look at it, and have it be two digits? Not very many.
No, not very many.
They're not going to be around. They're not going to be around that long in the two digit form. So it's a great opportunity for people to get on the website and give us a call here at Fort Discovery and order their Expedition rifle.
Well, and it's a high quality rifle. I mean, Daniel Defense is top notch product. And, you know, you guys have put this together and made this rifle. This is a top-tier AR-15. This is not a low-tier or medium-tier. And that's why I say I think for your retail investment, that's a pretty good deal.
Yes, we think so. We'll agree with you, Bob, on that one.
Well, you know, and I know a little bit about AR-15s, just enough to be dangerous. I'm not an expert in them, but I'll tell you what, you know, you guys have put together some features that people seem to look for when they want to buy one of the best ARs out there. And that's what I like about it. That's what I like about your package. And it looks like it also comes with a Magpole backup flip-up iron sight in the rear?
That's correct. Yeah, it's got a flip-up sight there, and we put on it. And, it's... You know, we've been out, and I've been out actually shooting this thing, and it's got a, I don't have the name of the trigger right off the top of my head, but it's got a match grade trigger. I think it's ALG trigger installed as well. So that's just your normal run of the mill trigger. That's got a really nice trigger on it. So those that do a lot of AR-15 shooting would know the difference.
Well, and speaking of people that do a lot of AR-15 shooting, you mentioned that people might want to get the Expedition rifle as a collector, but if they also want to get it as a shooter, I mean, what if they talk about this rifle? If somebody wants just a good shooting, high quality home defense or personal defense rifle, I mean, you know, the long gun. I think was it Jeff Cooper that said this years ago? He said basically the long gun is designed to get the fight off of your front porch.
That's right. Yeah. No. You know, and that's talking, you know, as when we first talked about this, I do have a security business and security services Northwest. But when we talk about these kinds of things, is that you really want to start? That's where you want to start the fight is with your long gun. You don't want to go from handguns to long guns if you can. But yeah, I mean, this is a kind of gun. This is something to hang on to forever, to pass down generations with the box and the coin, and it really is a good home defense, gun. I mean, that's what you'd want to start off with. And so, you know, it just depends on what people want. You know, the different people, as you know, Bob, some people say, you know, they swear by the shotgun or this or that and the other. But you know, if you really want to reach out and get somebody and work your way through your house and then out onto the porch if need be. And then be able to actually penetrate different layers. And I'll just back up a little bit. There's a lot of these bad guys now are wearing body armor.
Yep.
So, you know, people have to realize that, you know, most, you know, a rifle will penetrate body armor, most handguns will not. So having a rifle to start the fight with is, and if you had to, you know, the same thing if they were to hide behind something and be firing at you, like a vehicle or something.
Yeah, the 5.56 will penetrate soft body armor at least.
Yes, right, exactly. I mean, so a lot of them are not using plate carriers and stuff, but they will throw on a vest. But that's where, you know, all the training that you do, too, on your side of the house, too, I'm sure you guys do different training things, and I know that some of the folks that come out here and train, two to the center of the mass and one to the head. So
that's right. Mozambique drill.
Failure drill.
Yeah, failure drill, Mozambique drill, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
Yeah.
So
good. And, you know, and since you brought up training, if we can shift gears for a minute. Before we shift gears, anything else you want to say, tell listeners about the Expedition rifle?
Well, I would say, this is a good time to get one because – we haven't done any advertising, really. It's handcrafted by us. It's put together by us. And we're still a small shop. So I think that this would be a good time to get in before, you know, we're putting in an advertisement in Shotgun News in July. And, we just don't know what's going to happen if there's going to be, what we don't want to be is, you know, backordered. We're backlogged. We want to kind of stay ahead of it. So kind of enjoying the quiet times right now. But I would say if you're interested, give us a call, and we'll get something going for you.
And didn't you mention that if they want to order it, they can do it directly through you by calling the 877 number? That's correct, right?
Right. Yeah, they can give us a call at 877-876-4750.
Yeah, and folks that are listening, I will put, like I said, I'm going to put a direct link in the show notes so you can just click that link And you can find the phone number, you can find the spec sheet and everything, and give Joe a call if you want to get your expedition rifle. I think that's really cool. I mean, this is unique. You mentioned earlier, I think, that if people get one of these and they get it soon, they're going to have a serial number under 100?
Correct.
I mean, that is pretty cool. Where else can you buy a gun with a serial number under 100?
That's correct. And when I say collector's item, too, it's not as a collector item as it's the piece. But for those people that have those, they'll probably be worth, you know, double the money or whatever down the road. I just don't know how. I'm not big into gun collecting, but I could tell you if you had a Winchester and it had a two-digit number, it'd probably be pretty exciting times.
Yeah, boy. No kidding. Or even a Marlin with a two-digit number.
There you go.
So, folks, jump on that. Okay, well, let's shift gears for a little bit, if you don't mind, Joe. You mentioned training earlier. Talk a little bit more about the types of training that you do at Fort Discovery. I mean, you are going to have Ben and I and Glenn Tate out there this summer, but talk a little bit more.
Sure. Well, we've got our facilities laid out is that we have a training room, which you'll see if you go to the FortDiscoveryUSA.com website. And we've got a bunkhouse, a 16-person bunkhouse. We have a shower, separate shower and restroom facility. We can provide three meals a day. We have a commercial kitchen, which is in a different facility. And so we're kind of set up like it's like a campus, and then we've got a couple of different firing ranges, right in the immediate area. I mean, literally, 25, 30 yards from the main classroom. You walk out the door and you go up a small trail and you're up at one of the, range number one. We're surrounded by water. We're on Discovery Bay. So, we've had people use small boats here, primarily the government. We've got helicopter landing zones here. We've had folks from generally law enforcement, federal law enforcement, and or military land helicopters here. We've got our approved FAA heliport. So that's kind of like the main campus area, but it's surrounded by 3,700 acres. Small creek comes through down through the middle of the facility. And there's all kinds of it's kind of heavily wooded, except for the LZ and the ranges, of course. And so the types of training that go on here are anything from like yourself, Bob, that are putting together a class and want to come out and use the facilities to, as I said earlier, we have tactical canine camp here where, 17 police dogs came from all over the Western Washington to come out and collaborate and learn new technique and then on into, I've had a combat tracker course here, about a week ago with some special forces group. I've had, it kind of goes on. We do SEER, and then we do advanced, handgun, rifle, courses. And so it just really depends, but the bottom line is people can come here with their own instructors and or like what you're doing and or they can come here, and use our instructors. But it's becoming more and more that we see the shift in where people want to just come and use the facility, which is a lot less headache for us.
Yeah. Now, do you sell memberships to the public?
We do. We do have memberships here. We hadn't in the past, but we do now. So we have a membership where people could have pay to have a membership here, and then they have to call in and schedule a time to shoot if they want to shoot. You just can't roll up and unannounced. You have to call in so that we can put you down the schedule. And then basically what we do is we give the whole range to that person, even if it's one person. So we don't have a lot of members in the sense that we're able to dedicate a range for an hour for that person or them and their son or whoever wants to come out. And we just try to do that from a safety standpoint. We just don't want to have, five different entities on one range trying to shoot.
Man, for those of you listening to this that are up in Western Washington State, I don't know how you can beat this. This is great. You guys got to give Joe and his company a call and get set up at Fort Discovery.
Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah, they can come out, and we do have a small store here where we have the Expedition rifle on in a showcase, and so you can stop by and take a look at the rifle. And you really got to look at these coins, because the coins that go with this are just such high quality, and you can see it on the website when you go there. But we also carry handguns, large quantities of ammunition, some tactical gear, and don't forget about our annual company event coming up here on August the 23rd, Saturday, at 10 a.m. And bring your whole family. There'll be Marine Corps security forces out here. There's going to be Army, Navy, all the elements. The Army band is going to be here playing. They're coming up from Fort Lewis. But there's stuff for the kids. There's jumpy house, a hay find, shooting contest by age group 22 up at the firing range. And so it's a great time and to meet a lot of like-minded people.
Oh, I'm sick that I'm going to miss that.
Well, you can always come up, come back.
You just never know what might happen. You just never know. Hey, you know, and I wanted to ask you something, Joe. You know, you mentioned that you got lots of ammunition and you got handguns and things like that. Some of the people who are coming to our class that we're putting on in August with Glenn Tate, a lot of people are traveling from great distances, and they wanted to know if they can ship ammunition ahead of time to you.
Sure, yeah. They can send it to us, and or you know, it might be cheaper to buy it, too. I mean, I'm not trying to toot my own horn here, but by the time you pay $50, $60 in shipping costs to send it from wherever, it might be cheaper to buy it. So they can, but either or, they can do whatever they want or send gear. A lot of people don't want to check in there. We're at FFL, so if you can go to your local FFL and you want to put all your guns and ammo in one big box and ship it to us, we can receive it.
Will you receive it if they just ship it? We receive it from a private person. If they'll go to FedEx and FedEx you a handgun directly, will you receive it?
You know, that's a question that I can't answer. I'd have to ask Jen Scott, who handles our federal firearm licensing here. That'd be a question for her, but I want to say that I can, but I'm not positive on that, Bob. I'll have to get back to you.
Yeah, get back to me. Send me an email, and I'll just let the people in the class know. I think most of them are probably not going to be shipping firearms. They're going to be traveling with them. But I have had questions about people asking if they can ship ammo to the range, or like you said, they can buy it. Can they buy it from you?
Yeah, they can just buy it right here direct. So, yeah, you know, the only thing I want to make sure is that somebody didn't show up with a, you know, odd caliber handgun.
Right.
But we have all the standard stuff. We've got lots of 5.56 and 223 and 9 and 40 and 45 and 38. And, we have pretty much a wide variety up at the range. If they want to send it here, they can just call in and ask for Steve. Steve runs the store. And if they can't get a hold of him, they can ask me, and then we just write down that we're expecting it, and then we'll just put it in the storeroom where we keep a lot of our excess firearms, and we'll lock it up for them.
You know, that's what I'm going to do. Instead of traveling with my ammo, I'm just going to, for the ammo that I need to teach that class, I'm just going to buy it from you when I get there.
That sounds great. We appreciate that.
Yeah. I mean, it's easier. I mean, it's just easier instead of having to ship it and instead of having to ship it or carry it on a plane or something like that. So for those of you, because some of you have contacted me, some of the students are flying in for this course. And of course, including Ben and I are coming in from Texas. So it's a lot easier if you've got product like ammo, especially, that we can buy there.
You got it. Yeah. And then we also, you know, Steve's here and he'll be here on some of those days. I'm sure that if there's anybody needs something, we've got extra holsters and that kind of stuff. And we even got loaners. If something breaks or somebody forgets something, we'll be able to take care of them.
That sounds terrific. Well, Joe, thanks. I'm going to give the last minute or two. I don't have any more questions, so I'm going to give you the microphone here for the last couple minutes to talk about whatever you want.
Sure. No, I just, number one, I wanted to appreciate you, Bob, for giving me an opportunity to share the Expedition rifle and tell the story about Fort Discovery. And so with that, I think we pretty much covered everything. If anybody wants to go to the website, they can go to Fort Discovery. It's all one word, lowercase, FortDiscoveryUSA.com. And again, that's FortDiscoveryUSA.com. Or just pick up the phone and call us. We are open 24/7. A lot of people don't know that. So you can call 24/7, 877-876-4750. Again, 877-876-4750. And with that, Bob, I appreciate it. And God bless America.
God bless America. And I miss America, too.
I do, too.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Bob.
You're welcome.
Bye.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Go to his website again, Fort Discovery USA. For those of you who are signed up for the class that Ben Branham and I are teaching up in Squim, Washington, which is up near Seattle, well, a couple hours from Seattle, we're going to be right there at Fort Discovery teaching that class. You are going to love this place. You know, this class has been sold out, I think, since February. We do have a waiting list. You can get on the waiting list if you want. You need to send me an email. We have had one cancellation, and I filled it with the first person on the waiting list. Looks like we're probably going to have to schedule another one of these in 2015, since this one has turned out so well. But check out that Expedition rifle. I think you're going to like it. If you're in the market for a rifle that's both a great shooter and a collector piece, I think you're going to like that. Fort Discovery USA. Joe, thank you very much for your time. Remember, folks, everybody who interviews on this show, they donate their time freely. And so let's support them and let's at least check out what they have. Okay, another voicemail came in after I recorded the first part of the podcast. So let me let you go ahead and listen to it.
Hi, my name is Kevin. I'm a dentist in North Carolina, and I was listening to your show about property rights versus gun owner rights. And, you know, I carry myself, and in patients, you know, if they're law enforcement or if they're concealed carry, I allow them to carry in my office. I don't have a problem with it, but I would have to say that if another business owner had a sign that said don't carry or no weapons allowed, I would respect that, and either that or I would find another establishment to go to. If Starbucks said you can't carry in Starbucks, I'd find another coffee shop. I guess I wouldn't be making some grand statement that they have to let me carry a gun in their establishment or else. And I don't see it as the equivalent of the racial issue as you mentioned. That's just my opinion. You know, if I insisted on carrying and an establishment didn't want me to carry, I would respect that, and I would find another establishment that was the equivalent. Just my opinion. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Hey, Kevin, thank you very much. I fully respect your opinion. You know, we do need to be friendly and fully respect everyone's opinion. Even though I kind of slightly disagree with your opinion, Kevin, I fully respect it, and that's why I put you on the show. And I encourage lots of calls. You know, I don't want everybody to agree with me. I've said that before. I don't want everybody to agree with me. There's something wrong with you if you always agree with me. Okay? Because I don't have it right all the time. And yeah, I'm somewhat opinionated, and that's probably why you tune into this podcast. I've had some of you say, well, you know, Bob, I don't agree with all your opinions, but sure, I'm glad that you put out a thought-provoking show. That's my goal. I want to put out a thought-provoking show, one that just gets you thinking. And, of course, the main topic here is guns on this podcast, the Handgun World podcast. So, you know, guns and gun rights. But Kevin, I got to tell you, it goes back to what I was saying earlier in the show, or earlier in this episode. Where's the major outcry? Now, there are some of you who listen to this show. I know that, you know, you do speak out. when a business posts a no gun sign. But somehow I think in the United States of America, we have accepted the fact that it's okay to create gun-free zones. All right? It's okay. It's okay to create a gun-free zone without offering any protection for the people who are in that business. See, that's the thing. I don't mind disarming as long as you're going to protect me while I'm in your business. If I'm in your business shopping, if I'm in your store shopping or something like that, if you're going to put a no gun sign out there, where's the protection that you're going to offer me in case some scumbag comes in there and wants to start shooting in the place? Right? Maybe he's looking for an ex-girlfriend or something like that. Or maybe he's just a loony nutbag mental job. Okay, where's the protection, Mr. Business Owner, that you're going to give me if you're going to tell me that I can't carry your gun in your establishment? Somehow, folks, we have accepted that that's okay. Why? Why have we accepted that that's okay? That's all I want to know. So if you have more comments, call in the voicemail, send me an email. You know, you guys know how to do it. Okay, with all of that said, I want to let you know, that's the conclusion of this episode. I'm Bob Main. Oh, before I sign off, as you know, how many commercials did you hear on this show? Like sponsor commercials, you know, pushing product and stuff. I'm not talking about my interview with Joe. I'm talking about just in general. I don't run them. This is a listener-supported show. So if you like what I do, if my show helps you, if this is something that you get some benefit from, if I help you make good decisions and keep you informed and things like that, consider supporting me in a couple different ways. One way of supporting this show, you don't have to spend any extra money. All you need to do is whenever you make an Amazon purchase, just make it through my store. Go to handgunworld.com, click the Amazon store page. You'll see a direct link, and you'll be using my affiliate program at Amazon. Doesn't cost you any extra money, but Amazon gives me a little bit for promoting them, and that helps support the show. A lot of you do that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. To all of you who do that, thank you very much. You can also sign up for one of our classes. On September 27th, we're going to Houston. Ben and I are going to Houston for the first time. Ben Branham and I are teaching Beyond Concealed Carry. We're bringing it to Houston. So be looking on the website. There's going to be very shortly a link to sign up for our one day Beyond Concealed Carry in Houston. Mark your calendars, September the 27th, that's a Saturday, from 9 to 5:30. We've expanded it a little bit. We're also going to do a little bit of an intro to night fighting, for those of you that want to stick around. You don't have to stick around. The class officially ends at 5:30. But if you want to stick around when it starts to get a little bit dark, we'll do kind of an introduction to night fighting. That's all included in the investment. So I think you're going to love that. There's also another class. We're going to be possibly traveling in October. And as soon as I can get everything all finalized, I will let you know about that. But to all of my Houston area listeners and all of you who listen to Ben's podcast, the Modern Self-Protection podcast over in the Houston area, some of you have been asking for this for a long time because you don't want to travel over here to San Antonio or up to Dallas. Now's your chance. Mark your date, September 27th, Saturday. We're going to start promptly at 9 o'clock and go to 5:30. We're going to teach Beyond, our very popular, by the way, very popular Beyond Concealed Carry. The Shooters Club, it's time's wasting. June 30th, that tremendous giveaway. All active annual members will be eligible for the Shooters Club giveaway, June 30th. Plus, hey, the big benefit, you get to watch some great instructional videos that Ben and I have put together. So that's only $75 per year or $8 per month. And just go to the Shooters Club page at handgunworld.com. You can sign up that way as well. Okay, folks, thanks again. I appreciate you listening to yet another episode of the Handgun World podcast. I'm Bob May, and I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. Talk to you next week. Goodbye.
it back.